The Army thinks robotics have a bright future in ground warfare. The service has already used unmanned ground vehicles extensively in Iraq and Afghanistan, deploying an estimated 7,000 robotic systems to the two wars for everything from reconnaissance to explosives disposal and route clearance missions. But going forward, the Army also sees a future of budget constraints and the need for systems that can be rapidly adapted to changing missions and new technology. So, Heidi Hsu, the Assistant Secretary of the Army for Acquisition, Logistics, and Technology, says the service is employing a strategy that emphasizes open architectures, reusable components, and common, publicly defined interfaces between individual subsystems.
We are trying to define what our robotic strategy is. I think in the near term, our strategy is leverages the common chassis and allow the evolution of the payloads to occur. Because the payload technology evolves very rapidly. So what we don't want to do, buy a payload, hold on to this camera for 10 years. You're completely obsolete, right? So we want to allow the payload technology to continue to evolve and leverage a commercial industry to be able to do that. So if you look at what we're trying to do, establish a common interface, it will enable us to actually do that, to have the new arm, new camera, new sensors capability to be able to plug and play. Okay. So in the near term, that's exactly what we're doing.
One early target of the strategy is the replacement of the Army's Talon system, which is nearing the end of its service life. A full-fledged successor, Increment 2 of the man-transportable robotic system, isn't expected to be ready until 2021. It will enforce a set of open standards and interfaces the Army is adopting, and a bridging strategy Hsu adopted last week will also insist on the use of open architectures and technology reuse while the Army fields a set of non-standard systems in the meantime.
This new system will address several shortfalls that's in current in terms of a current capability today, namely the need for a common chassis to support multiple mission payloads, which will reduce sustainment cost, logistics footprint, and integration risks. This vehicle will leverage an open architecture framework as opposed to the current closed system, which lacks government purpose rights and a common upgrade path. So the first phase, emitters development, seeks to leverage existing Talon chassis while upgrading the system's sensors and payload capacity, among other improvements. We're working with our industry partners to develop a standard architecture, which will enable us to incorporate future capabilities rapidly, keeping pace with the rapid and dramatic commercial improvements that's in this area.
Hsu says the Army will be releasing more details on the robotics plan she just approved very soon. She says vendors will be seeing information not just about the acquisition strategy, but also the open standards the Army is adopting and will use for the acquisitions.
And the architectural standard was worked with in conjunction with industry. So it isn't just a architecture that we thought up by ourselves and we're going to throw on the table. Was developed in conjunction with industry, okay, and that plug-and-play interface will be provided to industry to enable the competition.
The Army's been working since 2011 to build its Unmanned Ground Vehicle Interoperability Profile, or IOP. It's a set of both hardware and software standards that will define how individual subsystems, like radios and cameras, within a robotic system communicate with one another, along with the hardware specifications those components will have to meet. The first version aimed to document all of the interfaces and the systems the services already has. The latest version, which has been undergoing work for the last 6 months, focuses on creating the open interfaces needed to convert manned systems into unmanned ones. Mark Mazzara, the Army's Systems Coordinator for Robotics, says there's still a lot of work to do in the multi-year plan to build that interoperability profile.
Since our priority has been modularity till now, once we kind of get the modularity piece defined, we'll start focusing more on the interoperability, meaning external interoperability, interoperability between a robot and a manned ground vehicle, or interoperability between a robot, a ground robot, and a UAS, or a mobile handheld device, maybe geospatial models or Intel databases, things like that. You could use a lot of those external interfaces to kind of enable better autonomy.
And eventually, Mazzara says, as the entire military makes more and more use of unmanned systems, the Army would like its interoperability plan to become the single set of open standards that all of the military services use to connect their robotic systems to one another, on the ground, in the air, and under the sea.
And we want to provide modularity between the controllers, the platforms, and the payloads. So there may be some Air Force unique payloads, there may be some Navy-specific mobility platforms, there may be some Marine Corps-specific controllers, and we want IOP to provide that interface between all of them so you can interchange them as needed, and so that you can kind of reduce lifecycle costs.
While the Army strategy encourages the use of open-source software models like the Robot Operating System, or ROS, Mazzara says it's also designing the plan in such a way that closed proprietary technology can have a place in the robotics future as well, as long as that technology doesn't dictate the design of the entire robotics system.
So OEMs and things have the choice to use open-source or non-open-source things within the black boxes, and so as far as open source goes, ROS appears to be the de facto standard as far as that goes. But we've done some analysis, and ROS and IOP can coexist on the same system. You just have to be a little bit careful in how you implement the services and things like that.
In Washington, Jared Serbu, FederalNewsRadio.com and 1500 AM.